welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 143. Spotlight on Marvel Comics Uncanny X-Men Volume 1, number 137. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
And before we get too much into this, we want to a little bit of news for people maybe not know the history of this podcast. The grandfather of this podcast, you could say, was Comic Geek Speak. And it begat the Legion of Substitute podcasters, and in turn caused this podcast to come about.
We were begatted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yes, Comic Geek Speak, one of its members, which is, you know, I don't think Murray probably knew him better than anybody out of three of us. He lost his bowel cancer this week, and go read his obituary real quick. James C. D'Alessandro, Jr., age 47, of Riverview Park, and that's in Pennsylvania, correct?
Yep.
Passed away Friday, May 2nd, at the Reading Hospital and Medical Center, West Reading. Jamie was born in Reading, Pennsylvania, on September 5th, 1966, a son of James D. D'Alessandro, Sr. of Riverview Park, and late Barbara E. Krieger D'Alessandro. He was a 1984 graduate of Muhlenberg High School and earned his paralegal associate's degree from BTI in 2003. He worked as part of the cyber team at Penske Truck Leasing. Didn't know that. In Reading for 10 years, formerly worked as manager at Golden Eagle Comics at the Fairgrounds Square Mall. He was part of the Comic Geek Speak podcast group and loved the Eagles, Phillies, and Flyers. In addition to his father, Jamie is survived by his sister, Shauna E., wife of John P. Kelly of Riverview Park, nieces Abigail and Francesca Kelly, nephew James Kelly, godson Jack Fiucci, and it says extended family. Brian, Shane, Matt, Kevin, Murd, Pants, and Peter, and it says, and his brother from another mother, Scott Powers of Lauderdale. And then it talks about the actual funeral. I guess they had planned on doing a podcast during the funeral, but they were waiting to hear from the pastor. I don't know if that happened or not. But Jamie was a really great guy, and sad to see him go. And as we said, without him and the rest of the Comic Geek Speak, we wouldn't be here today. And, you know, all the nice people that we've, you know, dealt with and know, and anyway, not much else to say. And it's a sad day because he was one of the good ones, and so anyway.
And he was a well-rounded. I mean, I haven't listened to CGS in a while, but he was a well-rounded reader of comics. But he seemed to have a definite love of the mainstream superhero stuff, and especially Marvel. And when I read this, I thought, you know what, Uncanny X-Men, probably they're you know, that's obviously the biggest Marvel title out there, the X-Men. And I thought, what better one to do than the Death of the Phoenix issue? Mm-hmm. Spoilers. Sorry.
Yeah. The first time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Jamie loved himself some John Byrne, so that's...
Oh, yeah, that does fit.
This is a good issue.
I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, he loved his John Byrne, he loved his Avengers.
Big Cap fan. And I guess his last episode he did was a review of the second Cap movie, so that should I'll have to check that out. Anyway... It's a sad day, and anyway, we'll try. I know Jamie wouldn't want us to be too sad, and I know what I did yesterday is I went and bought Went to a comic shop up in Joplin for free comic book day, and they had five comics for $1, or for $45, you fill up a long box. And by golly, that's what I did. I got me a long box full of I got a bunch of Arion, the Larion series, like number one, and some Warlord, and old Fantastic Four, and a bunch of other crap. So,
how many little kids did you push over for that?
There wasn't that many. By the time I got there, it was well in the afternoon, so there wasn't that many people there. I did not get any free comics because they were pretty much gone by that point. But hey, I had a ball game to go to, so watch my nephew play. He's doing good. He's a good kid.
Good.
So.
Excellent.
That's about it here. That's for me. Wow. All right. We'll get it. Who's gonna read this one?
I did not participate in Free Comic Book Day. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know what? It's my turn.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. Let me get a drink here. Oh, there we go.
I know, I missed Free Comic Book Day, too. I was...
Well, yeah. See, I missed it the last, like, two. I was bound and determined. If I had to take all my nephews with me, I was going. But it worked out that my dad was able to watch them after the game. And my mom and my sister went to a movie. So, let's get into this here.
All right.
And this is kind of timely because on the very first page, on the cover, you see Cyclops in his original outfit, and what would be called, she would still be called either Jean Grey or Ms. Marvel. They're in their original, quote-unquote.
Dude, Marvel Girl.
Marvel Girl? Excuse me, Marvel Girl. Wrong thing altogether. And on the front, it says, this Marvel comic could be worth $2,500 to you, and it says details inside. Interesting. which might be close to be true at this point. Anyway... So we got some John Burning cover, and I had just got the Omnibus Volume 2, Uncanny, that just recently came out in the mail, and it has this on the cover. Though not by Burn, it was an alternate cover. But anyway.
That thing on the cover real quick, on the upper left-hand corner with the headshots,
I missed them.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's cool. Those are all Burn headshots, too. Yeah, those were always kind of cool.
Did you see the cover price in this thing?
Yeah, 75 cents. 1980. I remember when it went up. DC's went up. It was the Legions of Superheroes. It was the Starman thing. Focus on, spotlight on Starman, or excuse me, Starboy. And then Batman. It was the first appearance of Jason Todd, as a matter of fact. Which I did not get at the time, but I picked up later on.
And 75 cents, that was because it was double sized. Normally it was a 40 cent.
Oh, you know, you got a good point. Very good. Yeah, double sized issue.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Man. Imagine how many comics you could get now. 75, well, not very many.
None.
Zero. Not even one. Not even a cheap one. Okay, here we go.
Except on Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, except on Free Comic Book Day. You can get a whole long box full. Let's see. And this is timely because here you see this pretty tall guy, kind of stout, and he's got this big, huge head. And he says, I am the Watcher. Which, you know, he's going on with some kind of Original Sin thing going on in the current Marvel Universe. So here's some dialogue, and you know, this is talking. How much do we want to go over this? Are we gonna read this intro and then kind of summarize the rest?
Yeah, we can kind of.
Yeah, I mean, this gives the update up through this point in the Phoenix saga.
Okay, let's do that. All right, I gotta talk in a very deep voice. Since time immemorial. I and others of my race have beheld the myriad wonders of the universe. How's it? Is that a pretty good voice, or is that sucky?
That's watchery.
Okay.
Watchery?
Watchery?
Totally.
Our charge, our most sacred trust. It's almost George Takei, isn't it? is that we ever observe but never interfere, which, you know, that's been blown several times. Okay. Years ago, I beheld the birth of Jean Grey. I watched her grow from a child to a woman. Yeah, that's not stalkery at all. Watched her take her destined place as one of the X-Men. I saw her die. And I saw her reborn as Phoenix. Though she did not know it then, Jean had become one with a primal force second only to that of the Creator. Ooh, that's big time. it was more power than she or any human could ever hope to control. In time, it twisted and warped her soul until Phoenix was transfigured into Dark Phoenix. The X-Men fought to save their friend. And, oh, pardon me. My timer's making noise. the X-Men fought to save their friend to return Jean Grey to her humanity. After an epic struggle, they succeeded. But then, at the very moment of their triumph, the X-Men vanished from the face of the Earth. This drama final act is about to begin. Before it is ended, these young mutants will be put to the ultimate test. If they are found wanting, the entire universe may well pay the price. Okay, so...
Hold on. Okay,
what?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Okay. You got a sound effect?
I was gonna, but I closed the window, so never mind.
All right. So basically what you got is the X-Men at a time, and, you know, one of the best teams of the X-Men, if I may say so. So they were... Which I think the... Okay, this is what we got. Roll call. We got Cyclops. He's carrying Jean in a bathrobe. You got the Beast. I think he's an Avenger at this point. And I did not realize it until he'd been killed and brought back, but Nightcrawler, one of my favorites. You got Wolverine in his yellow and black costume. You got the Angel. You got Colossus, another one of my favorites. Carrying Professor X, and you have Storm. So, they're standing there in shock because they were teleported into the onto a Shi'ar ship. There's Shi'ar all around them. And they're talking in Professor... Oh, thought bubbles. I missed those.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, X Professor X is on the cargo deck of a Shi'ar Imperial Dreadnought. I recognize it. This is the flagship of Lalandra's Grand Fleet. This is when Lalandra was the head of the Shi'ar Empire. You got the gladiator guys behind him, and he said, "You stand in presence of Lalandra, majestic Shi'ar Empress. Your fate is in her hands." Okay, so basically what we got here, they are putting the Phoenix... quote unquote on trial because they destroyed they call her the Chaos Bringer. She's the Black Angel of Legend, apparently the Phoenix is. Apparently back in X-Men number 41, holy crap. The Phoenix destroyed a Shi'ar planet. Which I believe were plant people.
I think that footnote is, I think it's referring to classic X-Men, like the repeat series. I'm looking at the version that you gave me, but I'm also looking at the copy in Phoenix. It's the Untold Story.
Oh, yeah.
Which gives you the original ending, but we'll get there.
Okay.
But in that, for that panel, it says see X-Men number 135.
Yeah. Okay. It's right near the end of 135. It's just she actually takes out that planet of broccoli people, and then she destroys a Shi'ar battle.
Ship on top of it, yeah. I have that issue, too.
Which then led into the issue where she fights the X-Men and gets... as we find out in a moment here, gets defeated by Professor X. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, there it is right there. Okay. Back to it. Okay, so yeah, they're talking about that. And so you got... So anyway. They're like shocked. And they're thinking, and she's, you know, no, no... Cyclops knows it happened because he's thinking, I felt it happen, all happened, though the psychic rapport I shared with Jean through that, but I don't understand, I didn't believe it. As Dark Phoenix, she killed without mercy or remorse. Now she's Jean Grey again, and the memory of what she did is almost more than she can bear. Anyway, yeah, so...
I think it's a nice touch that the rest of the X-Men didn't know that she had done that.
Yeah, they're like, what? You know.
I think that's a good story touch.
Yeah, even Wolverine wouldn't kill that many people. At least, you know, not all at once.
Well, it was a what-if where he was the Phoenix.
Yeah. Was there? See, I wasn't reading X-Men back then. I didn't pick it up until after Kitty came in.
What if they had... Well, Wolverine was... has done everything. Wolverine was the freaking Ghost Rider in a What If, I think. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, because, you know, Wolverine sells. He's the answer to DC, to Batman for you know, DC. You know, put Wolverine in a book and it'll sell. Or Spider-Man, for that matter. Okay, so they're talking. They're pretty much going to kill her. Surrender the consequences. And they're like, hey, that was Dark Phoenix. This ain't her, you know. So on and so forth. They're saying the risk is too great. Meanwhile, Xavier says, Lalandra, wait! Jean Grey, Erin Nin Halidar. For Jean Grey's life, I challenge you to a duel of honor. There's always a duel of honor.
Oh, and these things, yeah, I mean, what? Can't watch an episode. Can't watch a season of Star Trek without seeing at least one duel of honor.
Yeah, now I think this is you can't really tell until now, but you'll see in a couple panels. But this is big enough that the Kree and the Skrulls and the Shi'ar have all banded together to do this, which I think is the first time that they've ever done that. So she's thinking, you know, well, Magnificent Charge, you learn, Charles, you learned much about the Shi'ar during your brief stay on my home world, is one challenge that cannot be refused. So one of the Kree says, Majestrix, the Kree agreed that this Phoenix entity be expunged. Nothing has said of any duel of honor. So they must, you know, so they're consorting. Oh, okay. So the Kree intelligence says that he's saying the X-Men will fight regardless. These Terrans are stubborn breed, but honorable. Their word can be trusted. He has no, and the Kree and the Skrulls both said, okay. And there's some dissension in the ranks. Yada, yada, yada. And,
I gotta say real quick, just hopping back into 1980, the exposition in this is, I mean, again, we discussed this when we were looking over Sovereign 7 with Chris Claremont a couple weeks ago, but
yep.
The supreme intelligence of the Kree has no objection to this duel, nor I, to kill Empress of the Skrulls.
Right, right.
Get our little introductions. A little heavy-handed. Just a touch.
Just a little.
I like it.
You do?
I miss it. I do.
What, exposition? Somewhere in the middle ground.
Characters are.
You guys
it might
what?
Be heavy-handed, but it, you need to know who they are.
I gotta give Geoff Johns props though. I think it's because of him that we have this, or maybe it's Paul Levitz that we get those little boxes now that tell us, you know, who's on the page, and Marvel does it now too. So
I think John started that with the Superman and the Legion story, and it stuck.
I think Mark Waid did it before that. With
you're right.
Oh, he did in his Legion. You're absolutely right. Okay.
And both companies have taken it on. As a matter of fact, some of the, you know, I've seen it in Valiant books as well, where we get a little box saying who they are and what they do.
Yeah.
Right. I prefer that just because it doesn't take away. It's an aside as opposed to
dialogue. Yeah, I agree. So anyway, there's arguing, and she's Lalandra is saying, I'm here for one reason, end forever the threat of Phoenix. Hinder me in any way, alien, and your life is forfeit. Anyway. sorry, I thought that felt like it was something that should be enunciated. So anyway, he's saying, I accept your challenge, and well, thought balloons. So basically, Beast isn't too happy because He says he had no right to issue that challenge in all our names without consulting us. He says it did buy us time to consider all alternatives, whether we want to fight for her.
This is the coolest look of the Beast, like, all time.
Yeah, I agree. I've got one of the things I picked up at the con was that I think the first time he got the furry look. Yeah, Avengers, The Coming of the Beast by Englehart, Isabella, Tuska, Heck, and Pollard. No, actually, this is when he joins the Avengers.
Oh, I thought you said Don Heck is the one who designed the Beast look.
No, this is just who did this book I had. Anyway.
I despise Don Heck art.
yeah, it takes some getting used to. Okay, so, there's talking back and forth.
Are you defending Don Heck, Murray?
I am. I kind of like his stuff.
Well, his is kind of a... not serious, though.
I can't see the topic. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, it's maybe a little stiff, but I kind of liked more Avengers and
I have no idea.
Oh, God, his filling... Transitioning from Perez to Heck on Justice League was like pulling teeth.
Yeah, that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, you know. That's a tough gig following him up.
I wasn't getting the book when Perez was on it, so all I knew was Don Heck.
Okay.
I think...
At one time I had some, but when I purged all my Marvel stuff, I shouldn't have let that go.
I agree to disagree with you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's done heck, then. Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Got some Gil Kane action there. Okay. All righty. Oh, that sucker's still in the plastic, too. All right. So you see Jean's in her assigned quarters. She's just talking, she's thinking to herself. She was beautiful, yet terrible, yet beautiful.
It looks like the Superman 2 with the honeymoon suite.
Yeah. She's thinking to herself, God, merciful God, help me, give me strength. And then a robot gets the garment she requested, and of course we know it'll be her old Marvel Girl outfit. And then you got Nightcrawler's doing some exercises, and he's thinking to himself, and man, there is speech balloons all over.
I love this section of the book. I like that we get a chance to see what each of the characters thinks and feels and is going through. We don't get as much of that anymore these days. I really like this. Like,
yeah, you don't
step in with every single character and get their point of view.
No, I agree, and I think a lot of times when you get these double sized issues nowadays, they don't even get this in depth into the characters. All digs aside on Chris Claremont, he takes full advantage of the space.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's thinking, considering what she did, he says, I wish I was confident about the reason for this deal. Once I thought I would defy the devil himself for Jean, now I'm not so sure. As a child in the circus, I knew people who had survived the Holocaust, and they're talking about World War II, of course, after World War II, the Nazi death camps. I still cannot forgive the butchering responsible for those atrocities. How then can I forgive Jean? So he has doubt. So anyway, he almost has an accident. An angel picks him up.
So
even Angel, I think he has doubts too. It says, perhaps it's because I've discovered doubts where I didn't expect to find any. In a few hours, we're supposed to fight for Jean, and I don't know yet if I can. And that hurt. That hurts. That rhymes too, by the way. Anyway. So you got Wolverine, and he just got out of the shower. So he's thinking about it himself.
That's funny. In just looking at the original script to the published script, there's just little changes made that.
So you got like Phoenix told a story? I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, like years later they published. Years later, when was it? Comics were... It was in 84, so not that much farther. Like 4 years after, they published like a... almost like a Baxter version of the story. It, okay. It's called Phoenix, the Untold Story, and it gives the original script with the never-before-published conclusion. The original conclusion.
What they wanted to do at first? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, what they had planned to do at first. And it's neat. Like, there's just little... The art is all the same, but there's little script changes here and there that well, in this case, they've changed Angel's words from, like, originally he's questioning himself, and he's talking about how Angel is a part of his life. He doesn't want to lose that part of his life. And in this version, the one that they published, they change that, and his self-doubts are more about Jean. And so you can see Claremont kind of trying to...
Several copies of this on eBay right now.
Yeah, you can see where he's leading the store.
So this was in 1984 that came out. Interesting. I might have to get me a copy. I can buy it now for $2.80.
Wow, that's only like 80 cents more than it was when it came out.
Yeah.
Someone is making a profit on that one.
Yep.
Oh, it's a profit scheme. Okay, got it.
Yes. Yes, so I'm gonna pay off my college education with my comics. So anyway, he's thinking, and pretty much in his mind, Phoenix and Jean are two separate things. Jean isn't a killer, and she can't be held responsible.
And you know what?
So then he does meditation naked.
And this flies in the face. Him saying that
mm-hmm.
flies in the face of what is currently the schism that's going on in the X-Men.
Oh,
right
absolutely. Now. It is way out there. And the only thing I can think of that might even, I mean, Genosha hasn't happened yet, and whatever, you know, I'm not really up to in my history, which I'm, you know, I'm getting bits and pieces of it, but maybe he's at the point, he was more pragmatic about death, and they was always asking him to hold back. Now he's probably, you think maybe he's seen so much death, and that's why he's that way.
Oh, he's evolved, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying. I agree with you completely. I think it's a bunch of BS, considering how many people he's killed by his own hand.
He's mutated, is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you could put it that way. He doesn't have his healing factor right now. So, okay, now you got Beast. He's taking a bubble bath, of course. So it's been a long time since I lost my temper. And he's going on, so he's for the law. The law protects everyone, good, evil, and victim, criminal. It has to, or it and civilization aren't worth beans. So basically, if Jean were Satan incarnate, I'd still grant her the full benefit of the law. For all we have Lalandra's word of what happened, and that Phoenix still exists inside of Jean, and she wants Jean's lies, she should prove her case in a proper court beyond a reasonable doubt. So anyway, yeah. So about that time, you know, this hot chick shows up in his deal, and so he goes, well, hello. And she says, I'm your masseuse, sir. I've been sent to look after your every need. And then he says his catchphrase, oh, my stars and garters. But I would even say, I don't know if Beast of now would agree with that sentiment either. The law benefits everyone. I mean, considering he went back in time and got the old team to show him what, you know, I don't know if he would still go with that. So anyway, you've got, so Colossus wakes up. Let's see. He's talking. What?
In his tidy whities.
Yes, yes. So he's thinking... He knows the Dark Phoenix is evil. I also know Jean Grey, and I felt her love and owe her my life. When X-Men fought Dark Phoenix, we were not trying to destroy her, but cure her. We fought out of love. That has not changed. To leave Jean to Phoenix's fate now, however half he struggled so hard to save her, yeah, he was just like, he won't do it. We got Storm. She's thinking... let's see... Jean Grey's his sister.
She sleeps in the All Together.
Yes, of course. She lives in the jungle.
Good point.
How ironic. Dark Phoenix symbolizes all I abhor, but knowing that she is Jean, I find that I can no more deny her that I can myself. I love Jean. As part and parcel of that love, I shall use my elemental powers to defend her to the death. And a note, this is even before Storm got the first Mohawk the first time. we got Cyclops, and we know what he's going to say. He'd fight to the death. So he's, you know, he's going to do it. So anyway, they're talking, and, you know, you're dressed as Marvel Girl. Why? Says, I'm not sure. Nostalgia, pride. I started as Marvel Girl, and that's how I will finish. That'll be like saying that Dark Phoenix is one. You're not evil. You're not. Jean, whatever happens, know that I love you, and I'll stand by you until you're dead.
Side note, I don't know if you noticed, a lot of these characters are talking about God, and they don't do that much.
Oh, no, not anymore. No. Yeah, he's saying, you know, she had godlike powers, and he had said, I'd like to think, yes, if vengeance is demanded, let God mete it out. Me, I'd rather err on the side of mercy. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about God. Well, we all, Nightcrawler was very religious, and I'm sure there was some of that in there, too. Anyway. Okay, so they're back. They're probably going to the blue area of the moon, if I remember. That's where the fight's at. I just want to tell you. Okay, Cyclops is talking to the rest of them. They're all going to fight for Jean. And Lander's saying X-Men and the Imperial Guard will fight until one team or the other is defeated. If the X-Men win, those who survive will be set free. If my Imperials win, Jean Grey is ours, so do with as we will. You buy these terms, Cyclops? We will. You have our word on that. So they beat him down. And we were talking about the Imperial Guard, which was designed by partly, if not all, by Dave Cockrum, am I correct?
Yeah, I think so.
They're pretty much Legion of Superheroes analogs.
Marvel style.
Yeah, so anyway, they've been transported to the blue area of the moon, and for those that you don't know, as Beast is about to tell us, he's an Avenger at this point. It's called the Blue Area of the Moon. These ruins reach deep beneath the lunar surface, and somehow there's an Earth-normal environment extending all through them. Beyond the top of the crater, though, you're in open space, a hard vacuum. I side-scan the crater, Scott. I can detect no other thoughts. We're alone here. That won't last long on your toes, people. I've briefed you on the Imperials, and we've met and fought before, but they've added some new members. We don't know their names, nothing about their power, so you must be prepared for anything. Anything! Hold on a second. My phone is dying. Here we go. Okay.
Just like Jean Grey.
Yeah. Spoilers for, you know, 1980. Okay, now she's saying, hold it, I'm picking up telepathic impressions. They just popped into view. There, Genie. The flash of light on the far side of the crater must be the guard teleporting down. Angel takes off. Says, while I'm at it, I'll get in some first licks before they get their bearings. And he's like, Angel, no! Have you forgotten we're on the moon? Compensate for the light of gravity before! He went up so high that he went past the air, bubble of moon, bubble of air, and of course he falls. I can't breathe, freezing, you know, so he falls, and Aurora goes to get him. She's saying, be careful, and she's thinking that the limited environment within this crater will make it hard for me to effectively use my powers. So anyway, he's thinking what a dumbass he is, which he is. Anyway, He's saying he feels dumb. So anyway, Cyclops, Colossus is saying, Cyclops, Wolverine spotted Imperial Gardener heading this way. Do we make a stand? When we're ready, Wolverine, and on our terms, we'll start with hit-and-run tactics to throw the Imperials off balance and whittle down their forces. Now, we split up and get those ruins. We've got these ruins, Beast. Let us use them to our best advantage. I love playing hide-and-seek, Beast says. Okay. I don't know if that's the best idea, really. But, hey, you know. You know, splitting up, I don't know. But, what, you know, hit-and-run tactics, though, that might be a better idea. Anyway, so they are taking off. She's trying to detect them telepathically, but they have a member called Oracle. Must be blocking them. She has to be careful because the scan can be backtracked to them. So they find this plaza. Nightcrawler's taking point. And all of a sudden, fahoom! Before the German-born mutant can even take a step, you got this character who pretty much looks like, he's a fire character and he's flaming. Not literally. Literally. Not figuratively. He's flaming. And he threw some fire at him.
Wait a minute, he's got a head. What the hell?
What'd I do? Miss a page?
No, he doesn't have a head nowadays.
Eh? What?
Legion, fire guy,
never mind. Oh, okay, gotcha. That's wildfire analog right there.
No, I was thinking.
Sunboy, he got eaten.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He doesn't have a head. Okay, that character's name's Starbolt. Says, no matter how you try, we can't win. Oracle is she got an albino lady coming after him, and she's got psi powers, and he's saying it can handle the ladies, blah blah blah. Anyway, she's got Wolverine and the other four. Wolverine, Storm, Colossus, and Beast are in a sewer kind of thing, and they apparently hear. Wolverine hears his optic blast. Hold on one second. They're trying to sneak around. And so they end up into the robot thing. I believe he's called Warstar, which there's like two... It's like a two beings, actually. Attacking. There's a guy on top that jumps out. And there's fisticuffs, which I miss Colossus. I miss this X-Men, I miss this X-Men.
Okay.
Went back when they weren't all jaded and terrorists and all that other crap like they are now. So anyway, they're fighting, and you got Gladiator fighting, and there's some big white palace thing, and Wolverine gets knocked in it in the middle of a character called Earthquake, and she blasts it with some winds and rain.
I seen fire.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh man. She's throwing wrench stones at him, and behind him is chick. Called, I think Hussar or something like that. Yeah. She's got hooves like a demon. Sneaks up behind her with a Nero whip. Knocks her out. That distracts her long enough for Earthquake to hit her with a bunch of shards, and she's down.
Now, there's no analogy in the Legion for that whip wielding.
No, not that one. Let's see. Elsewhere, you see, Nightcrawler saying we're holding our own, but that's about it. You got, they're blasting each other. And the telepath hits Angel. And then I think that guy, Smasher, which I think he grows.
He doesn't. He's the Ultra Boy now.
Oh, Ultra Boy. Okay. So he gets thrown down this big thing, and he was just thinking he's just a glorified acrobat. He can't get to this level. So he jumps after him and does this famous teleport thing. Okay, now at that moment, in another part of the crater, apparently Wolverine has stumbled into the Watcher's house. So he's a burglar, a cosmic burglar. So he's like, big face on the wall. I am the Watcher. This is my domicile. You are not welcome here, Wolverine. So anyway, he blasts him out. Next thing you know, he's in the dinosaur past, and he's in a far future when the Earth is, and then he gets kicked out. So he's back in the battle. And Storm comes over. Thank heaven you're all right. And he's like, hey, something's wrong. This is my senses telling me something's wrong. He grabs her and throws her, and it really isn't. It's a freaking Skrull. Tending to be. And he's just about to nail him. And then one of the Kree captains of the guard blasts him. And he says some kind of words to the Kree, and that pisses off the Skrull. So he says, I can't handle this insult. So he turns into some ugly six-armed thing and attacks him. So, you know, that's always good to see. Alien on alien violence.
There's actually a story many years from now, from after this publishing, when this is the last we see of these two guys, this Kree and the Skrull fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We see them, like, many years later. From memory serves, they actually buddied up.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're sort of, they end up being like the, you know how there's always those stories of the Japanese war, you know, guy who's...
Oh, yeah.
War II, and... I'm still fighting the Imperials. No, it's over. You guys lost. We bombed you.
Interesting. Very interesting. So Nightcrawler's, he's looking for Angel. He can't find him, and he's sneaking around. He's one of the guard. And apparently, her powers let her see in the dark. She blasts him with a light blast, so that's like the analog of what's her name?
Shadow Blast.
Yes, sorry. And then we're back. You see Warstar getting his butt kicked, and you got that gladiator guy down there. And Beast gets electrocuted by one of the robot things, and Colossus. Gets nailed by Gladiator, which he's pretty much Superman.
He's the Mon-El. He's actually the Mon-El.
Is he Mon-El?
Yeah.
So he picks up a great big huge column and nails him, and it doesn't faze him, and they start just hitting each other. It's like shaking the planet, and they just, it's so much, they just get covered in rubble. But, unfortunately, what's his name? Gladiator comes out with his mohawk and everything. And Xavier's watching all this, and he's just watching everybody getting, beaten. Says, I will never forgive myself. And, you know, she's thinking, I would try to warn you. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the only two to the left are, in fact, Cyclops and Marvel Girl. And she's saying, I've lost contact with all the others. We're the only ones left. So much for a brilliant strategy. So they go into the ruins and hide, and she makes a cover of dust to hold them. Taking a breather for a second, figure out what they're going to do, and they decide they're going to bust out there holding hands, and there goes smacking and stuff and things, and so the rest of them come in. And there's this big battle, and they're showing in the background. It's this sun's kind of getting funky, and the starship said, somebody in the starship said, Majestri, something's happening. Our instruments are registering off their scales. No, Shara and Kithri, no. So basically, this big, huge energy blast hits this ship that they're in, and energy flare lights up a lunar hemisphere, a plasma bolt of monstrous proportions, punching through the starship's defensive force fields like they don't exist, announcing to all the universe that a phoenix is reborn.
Yeah, and this is where the story turns.
Yeah.
This is the part that was... From this point on, this is what they This is what they added. So
I'm going to have to read that. I'm just
beforehand. In the page beforehand, when we see that big burst of energy mm-hmm. and the little spaceship floating around the moon or whatever it is, mm-hmm. all we get is someone saying, Magistrix, it's over. The X-Men mm-hmm. are defeated and stuff. But here we get the first indication that the Phoenix is coming back. And then, of course, and then we see it. So that from this point on, these are the changes, or this is when the changes that Jim Shooter requested take effect.
Really?
The rest of the story completely different, the next 5 pages of the book?
Yeah, no, I just bought the comic on eBay. I'm going to find out.
Yeah. Well, go through the real ending, and then we can go back and...
Okay, good idea.
How it changed.
So anyway, they're doing some Star Trek space acting. They're getting jostled around in the ship. And Landra's saying, Captain, alert the Grand Fleet! Plan Omega! If we fail our mission to ensure the Phoenix is destroyed, burn this world, this system, the entire stellar cluster! Do whatever is necessary! So anyway, Professor X, he's sweating, and he's doing the Saturn Girl thing. He's got his hand on his brow, which means he's using his telepathy.
And his eyebrows are raised.
Yes, eyebrows are raised, and they're furrowed, and you can't see his eyeballs because they're shadowed. It's a very nice panel, actually. Lalandra's right. Things have gone too far. I've done all I could. Too little, far too late for Jean. Now I must act to save the human race. So he calls out, "Hear me, my X-Men! Hear me!" Which, last time I read one of the all-new X-Men, you got Kitty Pryde hollering at, "Come to me, my X-Men!" Anyway. Yep. So about that, and you get the panel, and you see her with her arms outstretched in the Phoenix Force's back. And it happens so fast, no time to stop herself. No time even for thoughts. She saw Cyclops cut down, and the cry of shock and grief and terror that welled within her shattered the psychic restraints the Professor Xavier had placed around her power.
So those restraints didn't last very long.
No. Not very long at all. An issue, I think.
She's getting her butt kicked, and those restraints.
Well, it was seeing him get knocked down is what did it. So it's
Cyclops' fault.
Yeah, it is.
Once again, Cyclops is to blame.
Yeah, it's like, attack her now, Xavier saying his head. Before she's comparatively weak. Yeah, there's a word that didn't really need to go in there. Professor, there has to be some other way, please. If there was, lad, don't you think I'd be using it? And so she's thinking, I'm doing exactly what you prayed it would. And he's saying, forgive me, my love. So he blasts the thing behind her, trying to get the rubble to crush her. A million tons of masonry and steel topple towards Phoenix. As she manages to save herself, some of these words are a little blurry in this copy I got. Either that or it's my eyes. She uses a telekinetic shield, but the intact still hammers her to her knees. Her power is awesome, but for the present, it has limits, and she has reached them. So Oro's awake. He forced her awake. He's saying she's become Phoenix again. Goddess, no! It's up to her to stop her. Is there a thing possible? Sorry, I'm getting wrapped up in this. So anyway, Oro's going out. She's trying to do some stuff to her to burn her out. And, oh, one of my favorite things in the world. It's a reverse fastball special. Don't see that very often.
Is that anything like reverse cowboy? No,
probably. No, it's not. She's concentrating. Air stirs around her, battering her. Wolverine's going, nice move. But even from here, I can see how badly you're hurt. You can't keep doing this under this kind of pressure for long. Nightcrawler's going, I heard the Professor Xavier yelling in my head, waking me up, telling me to join you to fight. I know, Misfit. He pulled that stunt with all of us. So big old hairy Wolverine, he picks up Colossus, which he's not in his armored form, mind you. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to do this. Puts him up over, and don't you see, we're not facing Jean anymore, it's Phoenix. They're not. Maybe all humanity is us, or all of humanity, or her. And he's like, Wolverine, what are you doing? So, shoom, a variation of a theme on a fastball special. Now, for those of you who don't know, Colossus would usually pick up Wolverine and throw him at a target so he can do some ass-kickery. So, they're doing this the other way around. Wolverine is throwing Colossus, And as he's thrown, he changes into a steel form. And in his fist, he pulls, though, at the last second, and nails Phoenix in the jaw, which might have worked, but unfortunately he pulled at the last second because he just can't. He's not a killing guy, at least back then.
Well, actually, one storyline ago, he killed Proteus. So.
Oh, okay. What in this comic or just recently?
Just recently. No. In this, I'm sorry. In just before this story, the prior storyline was the Proteus saga.
Okay.
Just before the Dark Phoenix saga, and he's the one. He ended up killing Proteus.
Well, it says here, though, you asked me to kill Wolverine, something I have never done.
That's written incorrectly, because he actually does. The whole Phoenix saga starts off with him moping and whining about how he killed...
It's been a while since I read it.
Yeah, no, that's an editor's slip.
Okay. So anyway, and this is worse. He asked me to kill a friend, and he says, I cannot do it. Yeah, and he pulls his punch at the last second. And so she's staggered, and it's Jean talking with the Phoenix's voice. Wow, you pulled your punch, Peter, and even so, I'm surprised my head's still attached to my body. Thanks, though, for knocking some sense back into me. Now, finally, I truly understand what I am, what I have become. Two beings, Jean Grey and Phoenix, separate, unique. A bond that together, a symbiont, Peter, neither can exist without the other. Phoenix provides my life force, while I provide a living focus for its infinite power. So long as I am alive, the Phoenix will manifest itself through me. And so long as that happens, I'll eventually, inevitably become Dark Phoenix. The Phoenix is a cosmic power. It can be neither be contained nor controlled, especially by a human vessel. Return to the cosmos for which it is named. Give me! Cyclops is going, no! It doesn't have to be like this. You have an intellect, gene, a will, a soul. Use them! And she's running away. And he's trying to talk to her, and she's already starting to come back to get... I mean, she's in the green Phoenix outfit. Now she's into the dark red and yellow one. And he holds her. She's holding him, and... yeah. I'm all over the place. Oh, wait. You know what? I think I might have that book that I just bought. Yeah, I do. I've got the book right here. Okay. Anyway. I have a physical copy. Anyway, you of all people should know how I feel through that psionic rapport we share. I'm scared, Scott. I'm hanging on by my fingernails. I can feel the Phoenix within me taking over. Part of me welcomes it. So, basically what happens, this is the classic, she's got him held, he can't move, she can't take the chance that 5 billion people of Earth will die, I killed an entire world, casually and unthinkingly. She's telling him I love you and all that, so what she's done is used her telekinesis and awakened some kind of weapon left over by the people that lived on the blue area of the moon, and... while she's talking to him, she's like, no, Jean, don't. She blasts herself with it. And she's atomized. And yep. He's sitting there, and he's all sad. He says, you planned this, didn't you? From the moment we landed on the moon, you shielded our intentions from our rapport, but yet, just the same, I should have realized, that you could not become Dark Phoenix and remain true to yourself, the Jean Grey I knew. And fell in love with. So, you took steps to ensure that if Loranda couldn't stop you, you'd do the job yourself. You must have picked the minds of the Kree and Skrull observers, learned what ancient weapons were hidden here, and then you used your fight with the X-Men to drain you of every energy to make you vulnerable. And finally, when you were ready, OG. Okay. Wow.
Amazing. So it's a big plan. She planned it all. I had never read that. I this is the first time I've read that the original version.
Oh yeah,
really? Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the few X-Men trades I didn't sell. I don't think I ever had the actual issues, but I've got that trade. So, but I've got the two Uncanny X-Men omnibuses now, so I can read all of that coming up to it. So then you see a robot's talking. He's called the Recorder, apparently for the Watcher, Watu. And he's like, you know, anyway, they're waxing, you know, philosophy.
Philosophical.
Yeah, I can't talk at all.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
she's the child received a level of power that placed her as far above humanity on the evolutionary scale as they are above the amoeba. She had only to think, and that would have instant become a reality. Yeah, it's a force of primal passion, so she, you know. The X-Men do not realize that they may never realize or accept it, but this day they have won perhaps the greatest victory of their young lives. Jean Grey could have lived to become a god, but it was more important to her that she die a human. And that's the last page.
And that's it. It's just over. Boom, she's...
Yeah, I know.
Vaporized, it's like, and then it's done.
Ooh. Well, there was a lot of that. I mean, her becoming... Phoenix again. I mean, that was off, it happened freaking off panel. Which,
yeah. Well, they do a lot of mourning in the next issue, it looks like. That's when Cyclops quits for a while.
Yeah, see, that would be the issue that I'd want to get. I'd want to see. Like, as a reader, if I were just reading X-Men for the first time in the 1980s, reading this,
mm-hmm.
you would think, okay, so next issue, they're going to pull something out of their hat.
She's going to be back
with you, whatever. Because, I mean, you see people get zapped and banished all the time.
They pretty much go over the entire history of the X-Men. I'm just going through it. I mean, everything. Even back when they were, you know, the start. And then up to her death. And then the next page after that, Kitty Pryde shows up.
Well,
who is it that quick?
Yeah, she shows up the last four panels.
But had she been introduced before that?
Yeah, she had.
Yeah,
okay.
She was introduced when they first introduced the Hellfire Club as well.
They're talking about that. They tried to get her into the club.
Her and Dazzler were both introduced during the Dark Phoenix saga.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. I remember that now.
Gotcha.
Along with the White Queen or Emma Frost and a couple other Hellfire Club members.
Yeah. Mastermind made her Black Queen for a while, made her a little nutso, if I remember correctly. But yeah, so anyway, there you go. Wow, that's something. I wish I hadn't spent that. Cool. Well, I guess I get to read that in person, because I do have the digital copy of the alternate ending. It's called 137.5 in this list I've got here.
So where do we diverge?
Okay, so in the version that I have, after you get the big blast, the very next page is Jean, kind of unconscious, floating around in like a just floating, and the Shi'arians, the Shi'ar do like this psychic lobotomy on her. They kind of, I mean, the X-Men argue a little bit. Are you really going to let them go through with this? And Cyclops is all, well, we gave our word, so yeah, we're going through with it. And then they take her apart and atom by atom, molecule by molecule, until she's almost completely vanished. And then she kind of like reaches her hand out of the light, and Scott, throughout all this, Scott is kind of feeling the psychic rapport that they share break down until he can't feel it anymore. And then he sees her hand come out of the light, and he grabs her hand and he holds onto her hand, and then the Shi'ar are kind of done chopping away at the Phoenix, and she's left barely breathing. She's alive, but barely, and Scott and the X-Men just kind of they go off all angry with the Shi'ar, and they go back to Earth, and the Watch, it finishes with the Watcher and his little Recorder kind of doing the same, almost the same sort of speech, you know, kind of a summing up, humanity's going to be whatever, and that's it. So in the original version, yeah, I guess the operation or whatever that the Shi'ar perform on Phoenix, I guess it could have killed her. I mean, it doesn't, because...
Mm-hmm. It almost did, it looked like.
Yeah, well, it probably took away all her mutant powers, or took away the fear, or whatever. Like,
yeah.
In any case, it's you know, comic book science. It's
right.
A big comic book lobotomy.
Wow, interesting.
Well, you know, and that was, you know, and then Shooter was the one who said, you know what, no, she needs to die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, this doesn't have all of it, this thing I got. It's just got the pages. It doesn't have the... This is exclusive interviews with Jim Shooter, John Byrne, Terry Austin, and Chris Claremont. None of that's in this copy I've got. It's just the actual comic pages.
Yeah. The interview's kind of cool to read. It goes on for...
Okay, well, good. Then I don't feel bad about the $3 I just spent. Seven-something with, you know, shipping.
Yes.
Now, is it, just out of curiosity, is it an interview with all of them at once, or is it separate interviews with the four?
No, it's all at once. So it sounds like they're all in one room being interviewed by the editor, Jim Salakrup. And
oh, so this was like right afterwards. So this is not after all the acrimony and stuff that's gone on.
Yeah, it sounds like it's pretty... they're all still on friendly terms. Like, Shooter's still around. Louise Simonson is still Louise Jones. Mm.
John Johnson hasn't told Marvel to go F themselves yet, is it?
No.
I see.
No. And is Shooter still part of... I can't tell if Shooter is still part of the... I get the sense that... Oh, no, he was still around. He was still around in 84, wasn't he?
At Marvel? Because we hadn't even seen... yeah. By 84, we hadn't even seen Secret Wars yet, so...
No, it would have been just around the corner. So, yeah, he was still totally around. Yes. So it's kind of a cool... It's a cool book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool book. What?
That would be kind of like seeing some band just before they broke up. Some big band, like the Beatles interview just before they all broke up.
Yeah.
And then it turned out they all hated each other for a while.
Wild. All right, Ted. Well, you ready to wrap this up?
Hey,
good.
And again, this is totally in honor of one of the guys who made... Not made this possible, but directed this podcast to even start. I mean, there's the list of podcasts that spun out of or are some way tangentially related to Comic Geek Speak is incredibly long.
Yeah, he had literally thousands of fans, I would imagine.
And Jamie was always, from the time I was listening to Comic Geek Speak, he was always a part of it. And it's not a small impact on them, and it certainly has, you know, direct impact on it, on just a line, like I said, a line of podcasters and people. The community is smaller, much smaller now for his loss, for losing him.
Yes, it is.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
But today is Scott Collins' birthday, so there's that.
Yeah, true.
Alrighty.
Wow. Looking through the DC Futures End number 0. Holy crap.
Shh. I'm ready-ish. I want to see it.
Yeah, that's... Wow.
Okay.
Well, I've already seen a... I just saw on the Google News, let's see, DC's Future End number 0 is a depressing smorgasbord of death. That's what they say on the Comics Alliance. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, let's wrap this up and wish the best to all of Jamie's family and friends, and we're sorry for your loss. And at that note, we close ourselves out. As usual, you can... email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. You can join us on the Facebook page. Just do a search for Tales from the Longbox podcast. You can check us there. There's always iTunes, you know, assuming anybody's been using that to download. I don't have it myself, so I don't know. Anyway, and you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think. And that's it for this week. Anything else, gentlemen?
No.
All right, and we're out.